congregators, respected opponents, Brother Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. The scriptures say to debate thy cause with thy neighbor, Proverbs 29:25-9, and it says to earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3. So in the light of this urgent commission, I've come to you tonight to speak as a man to men, realizing that someday our photograph will fade and our garments will be moth-eaten and our grave will settle to the level of the ground. And in that day, what we do about the truth of God's word we hear tonight, we will meet face to face at the great judgment of God. I'm profoundly cognizant of the fact that there's been enjoined upon me a tremendous responsibility to affirm tonight a great truth that is very pertinent to salvation and very heart-warming to the Pentecostal people. And so there will be some responses from me because I cannot help but get excited about what I believe with all of my heart. Therefore, I enter into this precious opportunity of polemic dexterity tonight and ask our opponents to do likewise. I reaffirm again my mutual respect for Brother Reynolds and for all of you wonderful Church of God people who are here tonight, and all of you United Pentecostals who I consider my dear friends. Now, I'm completely satisfied with last night's subject on the Godhead. In other words, there a man more publicly exposed on 12 different points that were unanswerable as Brother E.J. Reynolds was last night. Now, I want to warn Brother Reynolds not to go back to Alabama and get on the radio and talk about how he silenced Marvin Hicks over in Louisiana. We have a representative here from Alabama who intend to play the tape to your people if you do. In fact, there are representatives here from the Church of God who have defended your boasting and bragging, your egotistical portrayal of yourself as the final authority on Church of God doctrine, and they're here checking on the truth. Now, Brother Reynolds, the truth is, I do not believe that E.J. Reynolds represents the Church of God doctrine. I question whether there is a Church of God preacher here who will agree with Brother Reynolds' doctrine. I know the official Church of God proclamation from Cleveland, Tennessee, is not related in any way, shape, form, or matter to what this man has been teaching up here last night and will teach tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, over my signature is a proposition. That proposition demands a definition, and we shall confine the first part of our remarks to that proposition under consideration. Now, resolve. The Bible teaches, by this I mean all 66 books of the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, by which I mean to demonstrate, to set forth clearly as a doctrine in the New Testament church, the true church, that one must be baptized. Now, just a minute. I demand you fellows listen to me while I talk. You need to hear what I have to say. All right. Thank you. I mean, when they talk so loud, it interferes with my recording. I want to record them without their voices on. All right. By the Bible, I mean, all 66 books, that one must be baptized. Now, by this, I mean an individual person. And by must, I mean not, may, might, could be, perhaps so, if convenient, perchance, maybe so, but must of necessity. I'm teaching according to Acts 10:48 that water baptism, Brother Reynolds, is a commandment. First of all, I dare you, I challenge you to walk on this podium tonight and deny that water baptism in Jesus' name is a commandment of God. If you do, you call Simon Peter a liar in Acts 10:48. So why should we go any further? Oh, well, we will anyway. Just see what he's got to say. By baptized, I mean to be immersed. And Brother Reynolds agrees with me on this. And then in water, and here again, we shake hands just before we part and put on our gloves again. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. Now, much of our discussion will revolve around these two statements, and I have sense enough to know what we're going to talk about tonight. So we'll get into it. First, in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Secondly, in order to be saved. What does that mean? First, what do we Pentecostals mean when we say, in the name of Jesus Christ? Let me suggest at the outset of this first affirmative tonight that the subject of water baptism in the name of Jesus is closely correlated with the exalted subject of the Godhead last night. And I say this, if there is a Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, then we should be buried with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Ghost, since the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were crucified. Since the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were all three buried, then we ought to be buried with the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Of course, we don't believe that because the world would have been without any kind of a God for 3 days and 3 nights.
But since Jesus is the only person in the Godhead who was crucified and buried, we are obligated to be baptized into Christ, not in three separate distinct persons. Now, for further definition of the proposition. I want my opponent to come up here tonight and tell us if there's any way in all the book of God to get into Christ besides being baptized in it. I've offered a new automobile to anybody that can show us how you can believe in the Christ. Does that shock you, Baptist? Does that shock? The Bible tells you to believe on Christ. But it doesn't say you can believe into Christ. There's no way you can believe into Christ. There's only one way in all the book of God you can get into Christ, mister, and that is to be baptized into Christ. And you don't need to take my word for it. From the Romans 6:3, and the Bible says we are baptized into Christ. Now, either Paul told a lie, or I'm out of place up here tonight. So the issue between us is clearly set forth. Brother Reynolds either teaches the side of baptism, which means the administrator says nothing, here's what he has to say about that, or he teaches Matthew 28:19 is a formula to be repeated and instructions not to be obeyed. To repeat it or obey it. That's the issue between E.J. Reynolds and Marvin Hicks tonight. Are we to repeat Matthew 28:19, or are we to go out and do what Jesus said? That's the issue that divides us. In the name. Does it mean in the authority of, or does it mean in the name of the power of? When we investigate these issues, then it will be decided who is preaching the truth. I say this, ladies and gentlemen, if water baptism were to be a public acknowledgement of a hypothetical Trinity, every one of the disciples went to hell because they made no such acknowledgement. E.J. Reynolds, I say, if Trinity baptism is a public acknowledgement of the three persons in the Godhead, every disciple went to hell. They did not acknowledge the three persons in the Godhead when they baptized anybody. It's time for the day of Pentecost, and you know it. Read Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:40, and Acts 19:5, and then find again in Romans 6:3, we are buried with Christ in baptism or baptized into Christ. Further, I charge that when E.J. Reynolds stands to deny this proposition tonight, it signifies the following point. He does not want the name Jesus called or spoken over the candidate for the same reason the ungodly officers told the disciples to preach no more in that name. It's the hatred for the name of Jesus that provokes the name right here. I couldn't have let you reject you all reference to the only Savior of the soul, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And this man tells me I can't say that name when I baptize somebody. Acts 4:12. I say that when one does not speak the name of Jesus at baptism, he is denying the one name that God has highly exalted and given him, Philippians 2:9, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, E.J. Reynolds, President Ford, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus. You see, these fellows use Church of God, they use Church of Christ, they use Pentecostal, they use Charismatic, they use all of these titles. It's that name Jesus they won't put on the channel. It's that name Jesus that won't be baptized here. I hear to preach to you the name of Jesus Christ tonight. All right, I submit that we are buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when we're buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only person of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, in order to be saved, this is the further definition of the proposition under consideration. The word saved goes all the way from a man drowning in the lake to be he who endures to the end. If a man is drowning in the lake and somebody pulls him out of the water, he's saved from drowning. That doesn't mean he's a child of God. If a man's an alcoholic and he reforms and he joins the AA and he quits drinking, he's no longer an alcoholic, he's saved from alcohol. That doesn't mean he's going to heaven. That's the extension of the expansion of the word saved. And if you say you're saved and I'm saved, I can show you a verse that says we are, then I can show you another verse that says he that endures to the end, the saved shall be saved. So it depends on what you mean when you're talking about the word saved. For some indeterminate, this is my proposition. I have the right to tell you what I mean by the word saved. I'm using in my proposition. I go to John 3 and verse 5. One verse is the one baptism of Ephesians 4 or 5, and it's the one verse of John 3 5. Not two births, Brother Reynolds, nor two baptisms, but one birth baptism consisting of two elements, water and spirit, neither of which is a person, Hence, two elements can compose the one complete baptism. Now, listen to this, Brother Reynolds. You need to learn this. Just as water is not complete in a natural birth without the Spirit of life, so water baptism is not complete in a spiritual birth without the birth of God or the breath of God, John 20:22, which is the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. And just as the birth of life or the breath of life is not complete in a natural birth without the water, and an obstetrician can explain this to us, so spirit baptism is not complete without water baptism in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand in after Brother Reynolds comes up here for 30 minutes, raves and rants and roars and claims to be preaching on the anointing. I submit to you again, God never known him to preach 3 times last night, and I tell you, God won't anoint him to preach against water baptism in Jesus' name. If Brother Reynolds will preach the truth, God will know him. I'm just preaching on the love of God and the power of God and healing and miracles of the Holy Ghost. I believe he has the Holy Ghost free God on. When he starts preaching false doctrine, God raises his anointing from him and he gave him to some of his own. After he gets through with all he's going to say tonight, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. When he gets through with all that he's going to say tonight, he's still going to have to face Acts 10:48, where Peter commanded Cornelius to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, is water baptism a commandment? If it's a... Did you say no?
Surely you wouldn't deny the Bible. I don't believe any precious church of God people would deny the Bible. You wouldn't do that, would you? Oh, it's so frightening, I can almost hear a pin drop. I'm not the slightest bit nervous.
You know, it's amazing how some of these fellows, they think their final authority is on all this. And when you look in the Bible and you read where a man like Peter commanded water baptism in Jesus' name, I'm going to submit to Brother Reynolds tonight that he is taking the Holy Ghost baptism God gave him and using that spirit that was given him to guide him into this room to justify his false doctrine of Trinitarianism and the three God baptism. But the Holy Ghost was given to you, Brother Reynolds, to lead you to do. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Well, I know what Brother Reynolds going to say. He's going to come up here and say the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what he's going to say. And when he does, we're going to have his head down. But just to make it real interesting, I'm going to prove to you, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 28:19, and I'm going there before you. I'm going to use that to substantiate what about this in Jesus' name. That's the one scripture we believe before Pentecost that teaches water baptism in Jesus' name. The Bible says that we must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father's not a proper name, Son is not a proper name, Holy Ghost is not a proper name. Those that put proper there, we realize they're nouns, but they're not proper nouns. All right, I have a check here laid out to E.J. Reynolds for $1,000. Think of all the T-bone steaks that were bought. And it's made out in my name, it's to my account, it has the account number, the money's in the bank, and I have signed this Father, Son, and Husband. I am a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. This is not a trick. I'm sincerely trying to show you the fallacy of a three God baptism into a title and not using the name. Why do you men hate the name of Jesus? Don't come up here and tell me you're a Jesus name preacher when you stand to deny a proposition in the Lord of baptism. I'm going to lay this check down here before I'm through tonight. I'm going to try to sell it to him for $50. Maybe out for $1,000 and he'll give me $50 for it. I'm not coming in glory about it for a souvenir. All right, here are the questions to me. Number one, can you show us in the Bible one scripture where Christ taught water baptism in his name alone in order to be saved? The only scripture that you're talking about referring to water baptism before the day of Pentecost is Matthew 28:19 that says water baptism is in the name. John 5:43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Matthew 1:21 says the angels are called his name Jesus. John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And Luke 24:46-47 says, and then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scripture, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name come on, oh yes, it's beginning at Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you a little something he doesn't know. The commission given in Matthew, so-called the Great Commission, there is no such thing as the so-called Great Commission in the Bible. All of God's commissions are great. The commission in Matthew 28:19 was given before the commission of Luke 24. And Luke 24 was the last commission, and it said repentance and the mission of faith to be preached in his name. Alright? So that answers that question. Number two, do you think one must speak in tongues in order to be saved? Now Brother Reynolds ran out of questions already on Jesus' name baptism, and now he's on the subject of speaking in other tongues on the night when we're talking about water baptism. Alright, I've already talked to him about what John 3:5 means to one birth consisting of water and spirit. Yes, that's water baptism in Jesus' name and talking in tongues, receiving the Holy Ghost. It takes water and spirit, two elements, to bring about the one birth equals one baptism. Number three, are the words of Matthew 28:19, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost personal nouns? They are not proper nouns, proper names, and Brother Reynolds knows it. If there's an English teacher here, if there's an English student here, if there's a sixth grade grammar student here, all you have to do is stand and tell us tonight that Father, Son, and Spirit are proper nouns, and I'll apologize. You know good and well that Father's not my name, and I'm a father. You know good and well that Son is not my proper name, and I'm a son. You know good and well husband's not my proper name, and I'm a husband. But the name of that Father is His. The name of that Son is His. The name of that husband is His. So the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. All right, that's not about us. That is us. Now, let's talk a little bit about the doctrine. First of all, we're going to discuss fact dividing the word of truth. There are three divisions in the New Testament, Brother Reynolds, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the life of Christ, no church established, Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will, future tense, build my church. The understanding of those disciples was limited. Luke 24, 46, 47 says their understanding had to be open. No spirit baptism. John 7, 38, 39 says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That settled in our way. Let's go to Romans 2, Revelation. These are the epistles, not the apostles' wives, but epistles are letters that were written to the churches that had already been established. Remember, the epistles, Romans 2, Revelation, are letters sent to churches. In fact, no churches were founded in the epistles. How they faithful are the instructions and review of how they were faithful. The book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, is the only book in your New Testament that tells you how to get from this earth to a place where the rose is never fade, and the flower is never withered, and the sun never sets. And that place is heaven, and that repentance book is the book of Acts. And it tells us how the church was started. Acts 1:4. He says Pentecostal, not the Bible. Well, the word Pentecost is there, and those who are Pentecost are Pentecostal. So there is prayer without an AL, sprinkle on the heaven in the Pentecostal. Very powerful, sets on the sideline, and something to that. All right? Now, Acts 2:1-4 tells us how the Holy Ghost was given, and when the Holy Ghost was given, they had understanding that they didn't know before in 24, and don't deny that, or come up here and suppose that you do. And when you have this new understanding of the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they said, then, brothers, what can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that Acts 2:38 is the fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. I'm sure these Church of God preachers were standing out in the water and Paul parroting what Jesus said and refusing to do what he told them to do. Jesus knew that when he would open those disciples' understanding in Luke 24, there would be no problem at all with what the name of that Father was, the name of that Son, and the name of that Holy Ghost. That's why Peter said in the name. That's why Acts 3:16 says in the name. That's why Acts 10:48 says in the name. That's why Acts 19:5 says in the name. Ladies and gentlemen, not one person on the Bible and the day of Pentecost was the word Father or Holy Ghost even alluded to or referred to in any way, shape, or form in the church of our baptism. And Brother Town is a pastor in our Pentecost church in Gina has offered a trip to the Holy Land for anybody that's been told it. And he has no papers because it's not in the book of God. All right. Let's talk about now the form of love. All right, Christ died. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 4 says, he have obeyed from the heart. That's form of doctrine. Brother Reynolds, look at this now. All right, Christ died. Christ was buried in the tomb, and then he rose again. The form of doctrine, we obey him, that we die in sin. That's part of repentance. And every one of you that don't repent will be lost forever. All right, the truth is we die in sin. Then we're buried in water in baptism.
Second circumstances is not an option. It's not a choice of yours. Don't tell me, Helen. Billy Graham preachers make a decision for Christ to be saved. Let me tell you, nobody's saved by making a decision for Christ. I don't know if he's getting ready to say that or not, but Jesus said, you're not chosen me, I've chosen you. So Billy Graham's wrong. Everyone has come to Christ. All right, buried in baptism. After we repent, we got to sin. We're buried in baptism. We got to walk in the newness of life. All right, what is the error? What is the J. Reynolds doctrine? What is the little baptism doctrine? Why do you get baptized anyway? To get wet? No. Baptized in the local church? No, that's what the Baptists do. Pray, tell me if it's not far, or if it's a payment, it's a sin but a little. Why do you even do when baptizing anybody? Doesn't do any good. Why do I not at all? All right, what you really do know, you die and sin when you repent. You rise to walk in the newness of life, and then you bury them alive. I'm glad that's your religion, not mine. All right? Now, before we go to this one, Pope, or Paul, Pope says we're buried to the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, three persons. All right, Paul says we're buried with him, Romans 6, 4. We're baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3. And he says we're buried with them. The Bible says we're buried with him. Ladies and gentlemen, which do you believe? All right, somebody say, some administrator says, do not say Jesus at water baptism. But the Bible says, in the original Greek of Acts 22:16, arise, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and the original Greek says, arise, be baptized, having the name in both. Now my friend will come up here and want to know where, if the verse where the name of the Lord was called, over someone was baptized in water. Acts 22:16 gives you in plain, simple language, how does the name of Paul or in both at water baptism? This brings about the distinction of baptism. There was the baptism of Moses, the baptism of John, the baptism of Paul. The only difference in all these baptisms, including the 230 heathen baptisms in the world, is what the preacher said. Galatians 3:17 and Acts 19:5 teaches us that it's what the administrator says that identifies the baptism of Christian baptism from that of heathen baptism. Ladies and gentlemen, John's followers have been baptized. They have been immersed in water. But Paul found them in Acts 19, and he baptized them over again. In both instances, they were immersed. In both instances, they were put under water. Ladies and gentlemen, the only difference in Paul's baptism and John's is what the administrator said. And Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus. So how do you preach in the name? You speak the name. How do you get healed in the name? You speak the name. How do you baptize in the name? You speak the name. What's the matter of us speaking the only name given under heaven? Among men, we're proud. We have to say, oh, my God, all right, let's go to the Greek here. Acts 2:38, E-P-I-F-I, means upon the name. Acts 8:16, I-E-I-S, into the name. Acts 10:48, E-N, in the name. Acts 19:5, I, into the name. Ladies and gentlemen, I forget that what about baptism is into the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the mere authority of, but into the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you this, I put these verses, 1, 2, 3, 4 verses on that top of the chalkboard, and I ask my friend to consider that. When he comes back up here tonight, he can take this little chalk that I provided. All I want Brother Little to do is walk over here and put one verse this time of the day of Pentecost when anybody was ever baptized using the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he's going to be able to do it. Now when he gets up here, that sign will be as plain when he sits down as it is when he comes up here. And not only that, Brother Reynolds, will you buy my check? Let's make a deal right now. How many would like to make a deal? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I almost wrote a statement home last night. This man said there couldn't even answer who the Father Jesus was. And I just almost said, well, we're just sending back to, we're out of him. Is that where you're from? Out of him. Give me $50, folks. Going. Hey, look at me. You know, he turned his head. Get a picture of his body. Well, I said, we're not going to air out this stuff. He thought he'd come up here and lose hands and just push us Pentecostals around. He's got his hands full. If you don't buy this check for $50, you're going to be exposed as a fatherless preacher. church God preaches get around in heaven. Where did he get?
Now, if I believe like he did, the Father, Son, and Spirit were named, I got a check. He knows why that check no good. The name of the Father, Son, and Husband is not on there. See, I just wanted to illustrate it, but he only did $50. Would he? 40? 39? Going? Going? All right. I heard the mouth of man, which was the message of God. That is one of every church whose mouth must be stopped, who teach things they ought not. That's what each day wants to do with it. Baptism is in the name, in the authority only. But the message of God says into the name of Jesus in Acts 19:5. Into Christ, Romans 6:3. Please consider the difference in authority and power. Luke 4:36 is authority and power. Luke 9:1 speaks of authority and power. Ladies and gentlemen, get this illustration. I may have the authority to build a house. I go downtown and get a building from it. That's the authority to build a house. I may not have 15 cents to build it. That means I have no power to build it. You can have authority to do something and still not have the power to do it. Mister, when you come to the sin question, you better be sure you have the power to remit your sin. And not just a mere cold authority. It takes more than authority to answer the sin question. You have to have the power of the blood of Jesus. And they call those disciples, speak no more in that name. Because when you talk about that name, it brings his blood down upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, the name brings the blood. And without getting a blood, there is no remission. Let this man live all he wants to. But you've got to have the name and you've got to have the blood in order for your sins to be remitted. So, let me mention the difference in power and authority. All right, let's talk about a mental patient. There's someone who is mentally ill in this area. I don't mean to reflect upon you. I'm just saying a mental patient would say the name of John Doe. It's not John Doe, but it's son. I mean, wouldn't a man have to be crazy to say that? Well, why are you looking at me like that? You church of God's soul. Wouldn't a man have to be a little off to say the name of John Doe is not John Doe, but son? All right? Let's look what Romans says. The name of the Son is not Jesus, but Son. Well, that's just crazy. Now look what the Church of God preacher says. The name of the Son is not Jesus, but Son. Now you watch him when he comes up here. I beg him, let him like to tell us what the name of the Son was. He knows how to live. This sixth chapter says that God said you'll have a name better than the sons and daughters. And no title will affect your religion of sin. Now, when he comes up here, I want him to tell us what the name of the Son is. That's all he has. You know what he's going to do? You already told one of our fellows what he's going to say. He's going to come up here and say the name of the Son is Son. Now, if you do that, we're all going to jump up and hoot you out of here. Honestly, if anybody gets up here and says the name of the Son is Son, I think they need their head examined. There's not a person in this place that don't know the name of the Son of God. What is it?
Oh, the folks are smarter than you, you're up here on the book. I
don't know. That's
telling you the truth. Here's something else, Brother Reynolds. You heard something else.
45. As I bring my first piece of bone, I'm going to ask my brother to start here. And the first thing he can do is buy a check. The second thing he can do is put a scripture here, just one verse, and then go to the Holy Land. All right? Then the next thing to do is take these charts if he wants. Now, you don't have to refer to these charts. I didn't refer to his pictures here. You don't have to refer to these. But he better deal with the truth on here. I'm going to flip right back to him and expose it. Besides that, I got 17 more here. So he's in for some big trouble tonight. When I come back to the second affirmative, now you watch him again. He's not going to leave me tonight. I'm in the affirmative. He's going to follow what I tell. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for hearing my first speech.